God is here. The forward virtues of the Quran. Sheikh Hafiz says, peace be upon his descendants and companions, who are the stars of guidance, the propagators of the Quran, and also upon those believers who are their followers in faith. Sheikh Hafiz, praising Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala hum ajma'in, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated one very important hadith concerning Sahaba, that if you were to be guided, that you must follow Sahaba, and that group which will attain salvation will be that group which follows Sahaba. وَمَا عَنَ عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِ. That which I am upon, and that which the Sahaba, that part which the Sahaba are treading, if we follow that, then inshallah we will be successful. We will have salvation. This was said at that time when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described that the Jews were misled, the Christians were misled, and the group, the Muslims, will also be divided. And only one group will attain salvation, only one group will go to Jannah. And that group which is going to attain salvation will be the group which follows me, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And in this age, especially our age, when every second person is claiming that he is scholar of Islam and he is sign of Allah and he is the one propagating the truth and he is the sole interpreter of Islam or he understands the Islam best, then we should be very cautious. And immediately if you come to know of a person saying one word against Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, then for the benefit of our salvation, for our salvation we should stay far away from. Because he who says one word against Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in goes contrary to Sharia, and he's trying to mislead you, and he's trying to put you on the wrong path. That is why it is so safe that if you were to buy a book, purchase a book, and you come across while holding the book, before you purchase it, by just a quick look at the book, you come to know that he's speaking ill of Sahaba, you must leave that book. Because that book, the author is misled and he's trying to mislead you. And if that book has got something to do about the story of Uhud, the battle of Uhud, then immediately if you read the story a few lines, you come to know most of the authors, most of the writers make blunders and errors and try to mislead people and put wrong things and attribute wrong things towards Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. A whole group has come about, they say Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they were men, we are men, therefore we can criticize them. This analogy to use the Sahaba is fallacious. Sahaba no doubt were men, but Sahaba had the best creation on earth, best creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their teacher, as their guide, as their spiritual teacher. So that is why we say, you cannot say one word against Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Irrespective of what position or what appearance that person has got, he can have a very big amama on his head, and he can have a very long white beard, and a very big black kurta on. But if he says anything against Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, we should stay very far. And alhamdulillah, the kitab that is read, teaching of Islam, you will see repeatedly in the whole kitab that praise for Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, stories of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, their valor, their courage, their zeal for education, their striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one would automatically begin to love Sahaba. One would automatically begin to honor Sahaba Ikram. One would automatically realize that if I emulate and if I follow the path shown by Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, which has been approved by Allah, sanctioned by Allah, and tutored by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I also will attain salvation. That is why it is absolutely safe to read the Kitab. And that is why we encourage people to read the Kitab, not only in the Masjid, but at home also. So the women folk at least will come to know that these were the Sahaba, and these were our pious predecessors, and these were our students of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who attained pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who obtained the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they come to know the life of Sahaba Ikram, then they will try to emulate it. When you talk about the pious, when you talk about the righteous, then inshallah you'll have a zeal inside, you'll develop a zeal inside that you also want to emulate them. That is why alhamdulillah it is encouraged to read the Kitab in the Masjid and at home. And there is nothing wrong to read this Kitab, because it has got all those things which praise Sahaba, they elevate Sahaba, and they are on the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat rank. So those who say, no, that we should not read the Kitab, they do not understand the wisdom behind reading the Kitab. They do not understand the philosophy and how the correct direction the Kitab is giving us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lately one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that whosoever speaks ill of Sahaba has actually confronted me. You are actually confronting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if you say anything against Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from that day. And they had the best character. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi said to one of his kitab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specially chose Sahaba for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explaining one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked into the hearts of mankind and chose Sahaba for them. There were Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam who wanted to be the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'een were blessed with the fact that they were so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why we are repeatedly stressing this and not moving very quick from this point here. Because this is of so vital importance in this age. Because after 10 minutes or 5 minutes of talking to any person, and if he says one word against Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, then you exactly know which direction is he, where he is going, and what his attitude and what his belief. We hold the attitude that they were men and I am men, I can criticize them. Then he did not look at the Sahaba's lives. He did not study one bit of the Sahaba's lives. The Kuffar even admitted after visiting Rasulullah and look at the behavior of the Sahaba when they went back to their camps and said that we have been to big, big kingdoms and big, big kings. And we have been to many palaces and many countries, but we have never seen people so obedient to their master as we have seen the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when he speaks, they do not move at all. That when he takes out sputum from his mouth, they rush to take it as a blessing. That when he makes wuzu, they take his water. And when he has to state something, before the command is over, before the instruction is over, they have already started doing it. And yeah, people sit back and with their pens, those pens should be broken with speak ill of Rasulullah and Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. And it is a duty upon us, each and every individual, that we should protect and honor and love Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. One hadith of Rasulullah says that if you are to see a man of faith, if you are to witness a man of faith, then when he speaks good of the Ansar, then you know that he is worth faith. And if he speaks ill of the Ansar, then you know that he is a man who has got no faith. To that extent, Rasulullah is stating about the Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the ability to protect and honor and love Sahaba. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Lahmatu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Alhamdulillah, we are now lesson 11. I'm still discussing Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As discussed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word Allah, is that being which is free from any defect, free from any fault, free from any need, free from any want. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that supreme being who is all powerful, who is almighty. And he does not require anybody to do anything for him. The word Ar-Rahman is mercy, meaning merciful, and meaning most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to the kuffar even. Let alone the Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to the kuffar. How is he merciful towards the kuffar? That is very simple. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to the kuffar, that he gives them provision, he feeds them, so many of them he gives them wealth, and so many of them feel that they have got position and dignity of this world. And we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful towards the kuffar in this way, that he is giving every individual, the Muslim and the kuffar, the non-Muslim, an opportunity, a chance to change his life, to make tawbah, to repent before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the kuffar are given a chance and opportunity on this earth to change and go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman towards them. Another thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, merciful towards them, because he does not punish them immediately. His mercy has got so much bound that he allows the kuffar to do what they want and does not punish them immediately. He is the judge of judges, the king of kings. He is all powerful. He can just punish anybody. But he allows the kuffar, so they gave him the opportunity to repent, and he does not punish them. But they will be punished when they go to Jahannam. And this opportunity, or this muhlat, or this freedom of not getting punished, is sufficient blessing. Can you imagine what will happen, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to start punishing the kuffar and the non-Muslims and the sinning Muslims, then there should have been so-called hell on earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. He is allowing everybody to do what he wants with a limited free will, so to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful on the day of judgment towards the Muslims and grant them Jannah. And there will be a division between the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And the Muslims are those who are going to have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arshi istawa. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking of mercifulness connected with the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all the creations, irrespective of whether it's obedient or disobedient, Muslim or not Muslim, sinning or not sinning, righteous or not righteous, pious or not pious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy encompasses everything, every creation. Animal in the sea or animal on land, the bird in the sky or the fish in the sea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is upon everybody. There are hadith in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif related by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, stating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my mercy overwhelms my anger. And that is why on this earth here everybody is given an opportunity to win the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obtain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus we have in this word, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Allah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah stands for the being that is super, having no defect and flaw. Ar-Rahman, connected to this word, the quality of Ar-Rahman reminds us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Rasuls, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, for the guidance of mankind on this earth. Why? Because he is merciful to everybody, Muslim and non-Muslim. So therefore, he sends down the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the Rasuls. And the Rasuls and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam bring messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is one, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow the Rasul, and worry about the year after where we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Akhirah. And the Rasul bring the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the Quran al-Kareem, which was revealed to him by Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. So with this word Ar-Rahman, we are connected to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam and the Rasuls. And with the word Ar-Rahim, it directly bears connection with the hereafter. With the Akhirah. Translation, the hereafter is not so good. With the Akhirah. And these are three basic teachings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, Tawheed. That Rasul, Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he came, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he spoke about his own Risalah. Then he spoke about the Akhirah. If you take every Nabi, if you take every Rasul, and you study their lives and their history according to the Quran and the Hadith, then you see without exception, without fail, every Nabi mentioned these three things. That Allah is one fear, that believe in the Risalah. Whichever Nabi came, whichever Rasul came, said the same thing, that believe in the Risalah of whoever he was. Nuh alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, and the talk of the Akhirah. Without fail, these three were mentioned by every Nabi. And therefore, these three things we call Usul al-Deen, the principles of Deen, or the fundamentals of Deen. And the Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah says that these three are the only Usul al-Deen. Contrary to the Shia say there are six Usul al-Deen. They say, for example, Tawheed is one. Second is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be just. They say it is compulsory for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be just. We say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got power of being anything he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he wants to do with the creation that he can do. And he is entitled to do it. And we cannot question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shia say, no, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is wajib, it is compulsory for him to be adl. The quality of adl must be in him. Meaning, unfortunately, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times is not just. They say he has to have this quality of justice. Maulana Ibrahim Balyani Ramtullah alayhi wa Diyoban answered this very nicely. He said once that there were a group giving a symbolic analogy. He said there was a group of rats and mice which had a big conference, and they stated, which was the head of the agenda, that the cat is always eating us. So something has to be done with the cat. So after their big meeting at Mashwara, they decided, no, one person suggested that we must put a bell around the neck of the cat. So when the cat comes, you'll immediately know the cat is around and the mice and the rats will run away. So everybody was very happy with the suggestion. And everybody applauded the suggestion and said, well, this is the correct solution. And everybody was excited until someone suggested from there that the suggestion is correct. But who is going to put that bell around the cat's neck? Which of you will put that bell around the cat's neck? So everybody was quiet after that, because they realized that you cannot go near the cat because the cat will eat us up. So here, these Shia say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is compulsory for him to be just. We say that who is going to tell him to be, make it compulsory? We, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have to account to anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have to go and give account to anybody or give records to anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mindful. He is the creator. We believe in Risalat. They say parallel to Risalat is the belief in Imams. Now the Isna Ashariya, those who are majority in Iran at the moment, they follow this, the Isna Ashariya, which we translate as Twelvers. Because they believe in 12 Imams. They believe that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the first Imam, and all the Imams have been mentioned by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all have been divinely appointed, and all have to be followed. It is obligatory to follow them. And all are innocent. And all, each one of them mentioned his successor before going. And they have got supernatural powers. They've got supernatural powers that according to Khomeini, the righteous Islamic government, that the Imam has got both stages. His status is more than the Nabi. He says the status of the Imam is more than the Cerebium or the Prophet. The word Cerebium means an innocent born child or the Prophet. They hold the Imam status more than the Prophet. And they say that there is a 12th Imam, he got hidden in some cave. He went into what they call occultation. There was two types of occultation, one is major, one is minor. And he went from minor into major, and now he's staying in some cave. Surah Man Ra, in Iraq somewhere. And from there he's in communion with the souls of men, inwardly and outwardly. Details of this you can read in my new book that's coming, new booklet that's coming. It's called Discovery, Where is the Shia Quran? It's already printed. Try to get your copy. We have explained all these things. That they don't believe in our Quran al-Karim. They believe the Quran al-Karim has got 70,000 ayahs, and the 12th Imam, who they call Al-Qayyim, Al-Mahdi, the awaited one, the Savior, he's coming with. No matter how much they profess externally that they are Muslims and do work that they are like Muslims and say that those people who criticize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are also against them, and those people who write against the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are against them. This is all part of their international deceiving plot, which is termed taqiyya, holy deception, which I have also explained in that book. Third, the fundamental usul we believe in is akhirah. They say they believe in a thing called Raja'ah also. Raja'ah is, they say that everybody on earth who live is going to be resurrected on earth and then die again and then get created again. They believe in so called two resurrections. One resurrection that's going to take place on earth and then of another resurrection in the hereafter. Here, that is a Basil group out of the fold of Islam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, which I will explain in detail as time goes by, has said, Kullu amrin zi balin lam yubda bi bismillah fahuwa aqta, and in some narration, fahuwa abras. Every action which is worthwhile doing, which is good, every action which is good to do, if you do not start it with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then it is as if to say it is cut off. And in one hadith, it is as if to say it is suffering from leprosy, that action. Here, from this is a very strong hadith, and we'll elaborate in detail about this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that every action we should start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. See, for example, when we eat, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Drinking water, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Minimum, when you're going through the car, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We do not realize, but how beneficial it is, and what we are acknowledging. For example, if you are eating a small portion, when you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that means we are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that with the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there was a seed, the seed was put onto the earth, the seed was buried, it germinated, rain came, it grew, sunlight came, it ripened, and the people came, they harvested it, then it went to the mill, it got clean, then it went to the factory, packs, then it came to you, you cooked it, with all the procedures, and all everything involved, then it came to you. With whose qudra? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudra. Minimum we can say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, that we are admitting all these things, that we are acknowledging all these things, that we recognize all these things. So that is why when we eat it, we should realize that how wonderful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us this meal. When drinking water, it is raining. It goes into the dead. It gets clean. Goes to the reservoir. It's purified. Then it reaches us via so many pipes. It comes to our pipes. And we open the tap and the water comes. And when we drink it from the glass, then if we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we are acknowledging that whole circle and the whole cycle, that whole procedure we are acknowledging. So we just do not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim without any significance and without any meaning. When we go out to the animal or we go out and sit in the car, then it is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, if you have to ride a horse, who makes that horse subservient to us? Who grants us the ability to control that horse? Who grants us the ability to control our car? Who grants us the ability to avoid this and avoid that obstacle in the road? Who grants us the ability to reach our destination safely? Who grants us the ability to sit in that car with comfort and enjoy the journey? That is why if you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, while going into the car and starting the car, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure will be received and acknowledged. There is a hadith in a kitab called Zohar al-Mansur and also in a kitab called Darul Qutni. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that every time Jibreel alayhi salam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the ayat, before reciting the ayat for that particular occasion or for that particular moment, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam should read Bismillah. Here there is one point clear, that the hadith is saying that every good action we should recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Here we must understand one thing very clearly. There are various forms of gambling. One is, for example, throwing of a dice. One is, for example, cutting of cards, call cards. One is, for example, playing bridge. Pontoon, 21. One is roulette. One is that you go to a place where you have to put money on colors. Any form of these things. For example, if a person, he is now throwing a dice, or is cutting a card, or is filling a jackpot number. What do you call those? Well, he's filling down what will come out first, second, and third in the horses. In those days, they should call it place of jubilators. Now they got a new name for it, I cannot remember it. If he starts filling those forms, those jackpot forms, those horse racing forms, or that he starts throwing the dice, or cutting the card, or it's roulette, or playing one arm bandit, and he's pulling that arm, and he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then he becomes a kafir. Then he becomes a kafir. He leaves the fold of Islam. Understand the masla clearly. Which means that if he is married, his marriage is broken. Which means that if he now has a relationship with his wife, he's having illicit relationship with his wife. And if the children come, they are illegitimate. Which means that he must now recite kalima, renew his faith, make his nikah again. That's how serious. That is why you can. Why is there food? For example, if there is pig meat, and if a person says with pig meat is haram. Alcohol is haram. Liquor is haram. Gambling is haram. And here, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim must be used for halal things. He is trying to use Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim for a haram thing and to make it halal. And whosoever tries to make a haram thing halal goes off the fold of Islam. That's how serious it is. You go and buy a raffle, or you go and fill, the people come to sell these lottery tickets. Or you have to pull a fafi number or run a bucket, and you do all these things, and you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, then you leave the fold of Islam. Because all those things are haram, and a Muslim must not do those things. When a Muslim must stay far from those things and abstain from these things, that is why he cannot say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim and do those things. The other point we have to tackle concerning Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and I will continue and start from there next week, is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim can be used effectively for Taweezah. There are certain things you, certain amount of times you read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, for example, for a headache. For example, if you got difficulties, problems, what you must do, how often you must read it, how you must read it. For example, if you got a weak memory, or you are failing repeatedly in the exam, or you cannot grasp things, then how many times you must read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, what to do with it. Then the attitude of the various scholars in Islam concerning Taweez making, their views, and why they hold such views, and what is the correct view. So inshallah we will discuss this next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to understand Islam and practice upon deen of Islam. Islam is easy, we should not try to make it difficult.